And I encourage all of you to take a moment and register your attendance on the pads provided. On behalf of the youth, a very special thank you for all of you who worked on the pumpkin patch, from the setup, unloading, sales, and the cleanup yesterday. Really appreciate it. The youth had a great turnout, and we'll have the final numbers within a few days on the sales. So thank you very much for that. Want to remind you also that the card ministry will be having Christmas cards available for you starting November the 17th. They'll be in the Wilson Activity Center. And don't forget, teenagers, you have Mr. Dale Wallace coming from About Base, and he'll give you some tips and hints on holiday decorating, and should be a good luncheon and a good program. So as you look at the calendar of events and the upcoming events, a lot of great things going on in the life of the church. Let's take a moment and greet one another. In the call to worship. Lo, I tell you a mystery, we will not sleep, but we will all be changed. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed.
Good morning. How are we this morning? Good. I am so glad. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about when I was in elementary school. When I was in elementary school, everybody starts laughing. When I was in elementary school, I lived on a cul-de-sac, And we would, after school, go run into everybody's houses. In the summer, we were at different places. And by the time I got called in for dinner, you could have told me that I had dirt from head to toe. Because I would take off my shoes, whether it be 10 shoes, and then I take off my socks, and I would have a ring of dirt around my ankles. Because that meant that I had a good day playing outside. Don't you agree? There's days like that when you come home from school, or you're out at a friend's house, and it's summer, and you come home, and there is just a ring of dirt all over you. Kind of like, what is it? Pen pal? There you go. So, as I was thinking about that, I thought, okay, well, shoes. You know, you gotta, we wear shoes. You don't wear nice shoes outside, right? And now this, the weather is getting colder. We're getting away of our sandals, and we're getting into our fancy church shoes. Well, I brought some shoes today. I brought some old running shoes. And I was kind of looking at them going, you know, they're kind of dirty. We've got holes on the side. You know, I wore a pair yesterday out in the pumpkin patch, and they smell now like pumpkins. So they're going to have to be washed. But I was looking at them thinking, you know, I go, we just go through shoes. Well, you know, I was thinking about that because God, you know, does like dirty feet. And he talks about feet. We have scriptures where we talk about by the feet or under our feet and mostly at his feet. And so in one of our scripture passages today, it talks about how the people of God were in the wilderness. And it talks about how God's path was a straight path. But he didn't talk about our feet being clean, and he didn't talk about our shoes being clean. But you know what? God likes it when our feet are dirty. And you know why? Because that means that we're doing his work. If we sat and we had clean feet, that means that we're not doing what he wants us to do. He wants us to be at the pumpkin patch. He wants us to be working at the fall festival. He wants us to be out helping a neighbor clean their yard. Because you know what that tells for us is that we're doing what God wants us to do. So think about it as we go through the winter and we go into the spring, especially into the summer. And when you start to take a bath or you see a ring of dirt, you know that you are doing God's work. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for the beautiful weather this weekend. We just ask to remind us that we need to have dirty feet, not clean feet, because that means that we are doing your work. We ask this all in your son's holy name we pray. Amen.
As we go to God in prayer, I call your attention to the prayer concerns printed in your bulletins. We have some additions. We want to remember Philip Ward. Keep him in our prayers. That's April Hesselbein's brother, Jan and Scott Cross. And our fellowship of thanksgiving and praise for Marilyn Thompson. Eye surgery was successful, and she's home recovering. So we want to keep all of these in our hearts and in our prayers. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and eternal Father, we thank you for the communion of saints through which we are united in Christ with those who have walked before us and with us in the faith. Although they now rest from their labors in your heavenly realm, we draw upon their indelible and living example of excellence and holiness. We're grateful for the example they leave us, for the way they've shared their lives, their faith, their courage, their acts of mercy, so that we might live a better lifetime of joyful service to you. Dear God, inspire our hearts to follow in their footsteps, learning from their wisdom and holiness and love. Our prayer this day is that someday we may be worthy examples for others to follow. As we meet together in this place, help us to listen, help us to understand, and help us to remember. You are a merciful and loving God who wipes away all our tears. You comfort those who suffer in mind, in body, and in spirit. You comfort those who are looking for work to support themselves and their family. And you comfort those that are living in either spiritual or physical fear. May all find both assurance and comfort in you. And as all of us face the challenges of an uncertain time, we know that we have a certainty of you. We receive uplift and encouragement from being in your house and worshiping. Help us to be sensitive to the needs of our brothers and sisters. Help us to speak a word of encouragement. Share a smile. Share a handshake. As we leave this place today, help us to clearly recognize what it means to be called the children of God. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived here among your saints and sent the Holy Spirit to shape us all as servants, we offer our prayers and pray the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Today we're launching our family-to-family meal program. Last year we were, and this year we are, one of 43 churches that participate in helping to feed those in need in Central Arkansas. Last year, through all our efforts, 4,769 boxes of food were provided. This year they estimate they need 5,000 or more. Our goal as a community of faith is 200 boxes. There's instructions with it that tell you what we need to provide. Our children have created a banner. Their boxes in the Wilson Activity Center. And they've also given us the example to follow. They've taken 9 boxes with them to fill. So we appreciate the Asbury Children and the ACCDC. Carol Godwin will be available after this service to hand out a box if you'd like to take one with you today and fill it up and bring it back to the church office. This is a great ministry. It's a way Asbury can show Christ's love to those in need. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for the ability to share. Help us to minister to your children through our actions, through our gifts, and with your love. Bless the gift and the giver in Christ's holy name. Amen.
our hymn of meditation, hymn 710, Faith of Our Fathers.
Our scripture this evening comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Let us hear these words as they may rest upon our hearts, renew our spirits, and strengthen our will. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarded its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. Today is a very special day, a wondrous day in the life of our church. It's one of my most favorite days in the church calendar when we celebrate All Saints Day and we reflect and we remember and we give thanks for those who have died, who were faithful to Christ, strong witnesses for his kingdom, and who loved selflessly. Many of us will be thinking of saints who have died in the past year. Maybe some of us will be thinking of saints who died several years ago. And maybe even some of us will be reflecting upon those saints who lived centuries ago, years gone by, but no less have given aid and strength to us. For this is a day we honor them, their witness, their sacrifice, their lives, and paying tribute to Jesus Christ. All Saints' Day is special to us, because we are here today to give thanks. You know, it's always special to be remembering people. And today, as we gather, we look back when All Saints' Day came about. Several centuries ago, Halloween was associated with the Christian tradition. And Halloween was known as that day when the spirits would come and settle upon the earth and be mischievous. But when November 1st came, the Christians were thankful because they had the saints there to help guide them, to shed light on their path. And they would shed light for the paths of those Christians from Halloween and All Saints' Day till Christmas, when once again we reflect upon the light of the world, Jesus Christ, being a part of us all. And if we reflect upon how many centuries ago, how dark it must have been. It's not like today where, of course, there's electricity and technology. When it was dark back then, it was dark. The light pollution was very minimal. And as little children teach us, often the first fears we have are of it being dark. Because we can't see what's around us. We can't see what is in that dark. And it frightens us. I remember several years ago, I went on a mission trip to Chincha, Peru. I don't know if you remember, but several years ago, there was an earthquake that had struck in Peru and devastated many communities. And in Chincha, this was about 50 miles from that earthquake, but it had still given much impact to the villagers there. And so we spoke with the villagers about that experience with them, and they told us that it had happened at night. And obviously they couldn't see because you have to have money to buy candles. And they told us how it felt like and heard like there was thunder in the ground. Now imagine, you're in pitch black dark and the earth is shaking. There's a lot of fright there. All these things and talking about things getting too dark. And if we think about horror movies, most of the trouble happens at nighttime or when someone creeps down the stairs to the basement and the lights are off. We're taught that we should be afraid of the dark. But with Christ, our light, who reflects the light of the saints, our path is lit for us. The saints act as lights for our path to walk because we remember that the saints are like us. They are human. A lot of times what we will do is we will put these saints and label them as heroes of the faith. We will put them on pedestals. And I think we should stop that. I think we should stop because what we do is we distance ourselves as far as we can from those people because we secretly tell ourselves, I could never be like he was. I could never act like she did. And then we begin to not see the evidence that Christ is what worked in the lives of those people. It was the grace of God that worked within their lives and made them to be such gracious people. But we can't forget that they're like us. They went through their own sins and trials and temptations. They went through their own period of walking near the valley of the shadow of death. Question we should ask ourselves is, who are the saints you're remembering today? Are they friends or family who have passed away? Maybe you're thinking of St. Francis of Assisi, who got rid of all of his wealth and decided to live with the poor and serve all he could. Maybe you're thinking of Mother Teresa, who accepted the call of God and went to the slums of Calcutta and was there to serve and help the diseased and the dying. For me today, I've been thinking about this the last few days of who I would reflect on. And a friend of mine who passed away in 2012, and a mentor of mine, I'm thinking of John Guthrie. John Guthrie was an elder in the United Methodist Church, and in the 1960s, he served as a missionary over in the Congo, when the Congo was just filled with war and violence. And he would reflect the impact that this made on him, with how frightened different experiences he would have, but how grateful he was to be there to help so many people in such a difficult situation like the Congo was. And then in 1969 and until 1996, he served as chaplain of Hendricks College. That's a long time. But in knowing John, he's always able to be relative to people. And I know that he helped so many students, and he was such a light to people who are figuring out their own faith as they're walking through new experiences in life and in new situations. I met John when I was a student myself at Hendricks. And I remember there'd be different occasions where I'd go to breakfast in the cafeteria and John would be there having breakfast. And we'd sit together. And he would always have a kind word, always a word of encouragement. If there was a time of frustration, he would add humor. He was one of those people that would show you the face of Christ and showed the face of Christ to so many people. So the question to ask yourselves, of course, is who is the face of Christ for you today? Who are those people you're thinking of that have motivated you, who you think of when you need a little extra help? You know, I think about our passage this morning from Hebrews and how it talks about we are running a race. A lot of times we'll look at this passage and we'll think of it in terms of just me and God. And while that's a fair reading, I want to offer another reading that we allow the first verse, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, to enter our dialogue with this text. You see, I don't think it's just me running a race with God. I think it's the body of Christ running the race together. A large, struggled, and hard road and race to run. A great marathon. It's one of the mysteries of the faith, the body of Christ, that we can feel so close to people who lived the Christian life centuries ago and how the church propelled them forward by talking about them and not letting their witness die. And that's what we do here today. We celebrate those lives and we make sure that we remember them so that they can always journey with us. Because, see, they've been aiding us, and now they have handed the baton of the gospel that we race forward and give to the next folks that run this race. We all do this together, and we can't do it alone. We must embrace God, and we must, when we run that race with the body of Christ, look for those lights that are ahead of us, guiding our footsteps through the valley of the shadow of death that may come, through the doubts and the questions and frustrations, and in the high lives of our Christian life. And finally, reflect on you as a saint. Who will you be a saint to? There are three types of Christians when they die, I've come to find out. There's the Christian that is a saint, a witness for Christ, has done everything they could to advance the gospel. Then there's the Christian that was, well, actually can't say much because they didn't do much. And then there's a Christian and a fear of mine of becoming that person where when others see them, they decide, well, I don't want to be a Christian if that's what it's about. We are called to live our lives in a manner worthy of the gospel, to cling to that grace. So I say, who will you be a saint to? Who will look up to you? How will you reflect Christ's light in this dark world? Always trusting God that that light can shine through any darkness and overcome the problems of this world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Join with me in the great thanksgiving. It's printed in your bulletin this morning. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, God of Abraham and Sarah, God of Miriam and Moses, God of Joshua and Deborah, God of Ruth and David, God of the priests and the prophets, God of Mary and Joseph, God of the apostles and the martyrs, God of our mothers and our fathers, God of our children to all generations. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Your Son, Jesus Christ, by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, our Lord gathered with his disciples and said, "Take, eat, for this is my body which is given to you. Do this as often as you eat of it in remembrance of me." And so, when the supper was over, he took the cup, again gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and on these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with all your saints, especially those whom we name before you.
Lord, we thank you for this thy servant, for her living and dying in the faith.
Melvin Dutch Dennis. For his living and dying in the faith.
Ruby Gardner. Lord, we thank you for this thy servant, for her living and dying in the faith.
Betty Hewitt. Lord, we thank you for this thy servant, for her living and dying in the faith.
Mary Ramley. Lord, we thank you for this thy servant, for her living and dying in the faith.
Jean Richter. Lord, we thank you for this thy servant, for her living and dying in the faith.
Fran Rollins. Lord, we thank you for this thy servant, for her living and dying in the faith.
Martha Sparks. Lord, we thank you for this thy servant, for her living and dying in the faith.
Joe Cash. Lord, we thank you for this thy servant, for his living and dying in the faith.
Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, strengthen us to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes again in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours now, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. I'd like to say this morning, one of the most favorite things for me to say, and that is that this is a table of grace. All are welcome here because Christ died for all. Christ seeks for all to be transformed, and so all are welcomed. This is not the table of Asbury nor a United Methodist table. It is Christ's table. So come and feast. We also have the gluten-free wafer option if you need that. And then also, if you would like to place some dollars on the rails, those will go to our community fund, actually in the offering plate there. Stand as we say our prayer of thanksgiving. We now, the people of this congregation, grateful for our heritage, aware of the sacrifices of our mothers and fathers in the faith, and confessing that apart from us, their work cannot be made perfect,
dedicate ourselves anew to the worship and service of Almighty God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you would remain standing for our closing hymn of commitment, For All the Saints, found in your hymnal 711, we'll be singing verses 1, 4, 5, and 6. Go and reflect that light of Christ. For this is a dark world of ours, filled with tragedies and sadness. Fill it with the light of Christ, which at its heart has joy and peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.